We're in the middle of a little mini series on gifts and thinking about our gifts and what God has blessed us with and how we can use those gifts for God's glory. And over the last couple of Sundays, prior to going away for the weekend, we started to explore what that might look like. And the reading that we've just heard talks a lot about different gifts that we might have and how that might come out as we use those gifts for God's glory. We've all got gifts. When I look out at the sea of people in front of me, I see a lot of people who are blessed in so many ways. There is so much talent in this room that it would blow your mind. When we went to Cloverleigh, there was a little game at the start, an icebreaker game, which had a fact about each person. And we didn't know who the person was, but it was a fact, something about them. And we had to try during the weekend to go and find out who the person was. And some of the facts were just amazing. Some of the things that people have done, some of the gifts that people have, were just incredible. We have a very talented bunch of people sat right here in this congregation. But the problem is, as adults, we shy away, don't we, from expressing our gifts. We feel a bit self-conscious and we don't want to come across as being big-headed or show-offy or anything like that. So we don't like to use our gifts. Children are good at it. Children are quite good in that they love to get to the front and show off and do things. But as adults, we're not quite the same. But you know, gifts are not just something that we've been born with, which is a natural thing that we are able to develop. Yes, that is part of what our giftings might be. You might be born with a natural ability to be good at something or other. But you can also develop new gifts as you go through life. You can develop new skills. For instance, a number of years ago, I've always loved motorbikes. I always talk about motorbikes, so does Bishop Cyril, so I'm not on my own. But when I was about three, I specifically remember hearing the first motorbike engine. And instead of being scared, you know, sometimes it can be a bit scary, can't you, when you hear a big revving engine? Instead of being scared, I loved it. I loved the sound of this engine. And ever since then, I had a passion for riding a motorbike. And then a number of years ago, obviously when I left my mum and dad's house, because I'm under no circumstance under their roof would I ever have a motorbike. Anyway, I got my own. And I just love motorbikes. But that's a gift, a skill, not a gift, it's a skill I've learned to develop over the years as you learn something. Like driving, you get better, don't you? The more you do it, you get better at it. It's the same with lots of different skills. One of the other things that I learned to do, when I first became a clergyman, so going back 7 years, right, where it is now, 7 or 8 years, I thought it would be really good if I learned to juggle. Now, I did at St. Margaret's, did a year 7 introduction night here, and I started to do a little bit, got some people out to do some juggling. I'm not gonna do it now, but I just thought it would be great for me to learn to juggle. It's something that I could do in school assemblies, something I could start to do and just to play around with during services. So I taught myself to juggle, and it was something I had to learn. It was a gift I had to develop and I had to learn. Some gifts, you can do that. Some of us are blessed with natural ability, and we're gonna watch a clip, the first clip, with someone with natural ability. Let's just watch that. Brilliant. Thanks, John. If you can kind of, they're brilliant. Thank you. You're all so reserved. You can laugh, you know. You can have a laugh. And, oh, anyway, there you go. Brilliant talent. And you'd be glad to know that me and my son Tom, we've been working on it, on doing that. So I'm just going to run out and get me kit on. I'll be back in a sec. One joke. No, it's natural talent to make people laugh. Some people have got that gift. Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. But not all gifts are like that. Obviously, some gifts are different. We have different gifts in different ways. And the question is, how are you using the gifts that you've been blessed with? Do you know what your gifts are? You know, some of us as adults, we actually don't know what our gifts are. And we struggle with, what is it that I'm good at? What am I good at? And sometimes I think we put ourselves down, don't we? And we don't actually think that we're good at anything. And we struggle with that. And I think some of us think, I see other people doing this. I see other people at the front doing that. I can't do that. I don't know what I can do. But you know what? God has made you absolutely unique. There is not another one of you, and there will never ever be another one of you. My dad was an identical twin, and he and his twin brother, they are literally identical. They look absolutely the same, but they're so different. They are so different. We are all unique. Psalm 139 says that God knit us together in our mother's womb. He knit us together. He handcrafted you. He handcrafted you to be the person you are. And he thinks you are brilliant. He thinks you are brilliant. And he's given you gifts. And he wants you to use those gifts for him. Because when you use them for him, then you'll blossom into the person that he wants you to be. And sometimes that's a massive step of faith. But you know, you are made in his image. We read in scripture that you are made in the likeness of him. You've got God inside you. You've got this amazing treasure, as Bishop Cyril called it. You've got this amazing treasure hidden in your very core, in the depth of you. You're made in his image. And that is something I find incredible. We're going to watch a second clip. Now, this is 6 minutes long, and I'm not going to say anything else really after this. We're going to watch this clip, and then I might just do something afterwards.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and the God of the heavens is the one who fashioned you together. And he knows your name tonight. And he knows every single thing there is to know about you. And he's made you a promise that for those who trust in him, he will literally hold them in his hand and carry them all the days of their life. This Psalm 33 that talks about a star-breathing God turns an interesting corner. It says, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood fast. That's power and awe. But now it gets very personal. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of them all and is intimately acquainted with everything they do. And then he goes even further. And he says, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love. And here comes his promise, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. And that is the promise tonight, because this building and our world is filled with hurting people, with lives that are spinning out of control, with pain that we didn't ask for or could never imagine. And God is making a promise to us tonight. He's saying, I am a universe maker and I am a heart former, but I'm also big enough to be intimately acquainted with all the circumstances of every one of your lives. And I promise you, no matter what comes in this lifetime, no matter how difficult the road or how dark the night, I will hold on to you and I will literally hold you together and carry you through any and every circumstance that ever comes your way, any moment on this planet. It's the promise of God. And you say, well, man, that sounds good, but how do I know that's true in my life right now, Louis? I mean, that's really what we want to know tonight. And I'll tell you how you can know tonight that God will always hold you together, no matter what. It's by looking a little deeper into the human body. And it's a little protein molecule called laminin. Yeah, that's about what I felt the first time I heard that. Long story short, the tour was winding down last time around. We were in Tyler, Texas. The night was over. A guy walks up to me. I wish I could tell you the whole story. It was so of God. Introduces himself to me, says, how are you doing? I just want to say hello. I said, it's nice to meet you. He says, you guys winding the tour down. Where are you going to go from here? I said, well, I'm on my way back home to Atlanta, Georgia. He said, well, what's next for you? I said, I'm going to be preaching the next 2 Sundays for my pastor back in Atlanta. He said, oh, cool. What are you preaching on? I said, well, the series is on the glory of God in the human body. He said, that's really amazing. I'm a molecular biologist at the university down the road. Give me your talk. And I was like, oh, wow. I wasn't quite yet ready to unload the talk for a molecular biologist, so I kind of stumbled through what I had, and he's kind of being kind and gracious and like, uh-huh, that's good. And then he says, well, what's your big left hook? You got to have a left hook, a big finish, right? I said, I don't have a left hook yet. He said, oh, Louis. Oh, man, your left hook is laminin. And I'm totally blank on laminin. And he goes, Louis, it's a cell adhesion molecule. Protein molecule? Do you know about proteins? I'm like, no. He said, Louis, cells organize into certain molecular structures, and that determines what protein there are. There are between 10 and 60,000 proteins in the human body. We don't even know how many proteins are in the human body. But one of them is a cell adhesion molecule. It's organized into this certain structure, and that tells the cell what its job is in the body. And this one is a cell adhesion molecule. And I'm like, all right. He said, no, Louis, it's like the rebar of the human body. The steel they put in the concrete when they lay the foundations of things, it's that stuff. It's holding your membranes together. It's the glue of the human body, Louis. It's laminin. You got to tell them about laminin. And I'm like, I promise you, I'm going home and tell them about laminin. And I'm sure when I do, revival is going to sweep across the church and probably around the world when I tell them. He said, no. You got to see laminin. I'm like, okay, let's see it. He said, no, you need to go look it up online. You need to go Google laminin. I'm like, I don't even know how to spell laminin. Takes his card out, he writes on the back, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. I'm like, okay, I cannot wait to get to my computer and get on Google, click on images, type in laminin, and I'm waiting, and these little thumbnails come up on the screen, and I'm like, that's laminin, the cell adhesion molecule. Woo! I am so excited. I am beside myself. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. I love laminin. I'm so fired up. You should see laminin, I guess. That's the thing, right? Okay. Here is a scientific diagram of the laminin cell adhesion molecule that's holding your body together right now, okay? This is what I found right here. No, come on, that's crazy. That's just crazy. I just can't believe it. I emailed that guy back so fast, I'm like, wow, what in the world? He said, you want to see an actual laminin molecule? I'm like, oh no, man, the diagram was cool for me. I'm happy with that. Don't bother sending anything else. I'm like, yes! And he sends me this image, an electron microscopic image of an actual laminin protein molecule. It looks just like this. How crazy is that? That the stuff that holds our bodies together, that's holding the lining of your organs together, holding your skin on, is in the perfect shape of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately I'm thinking about the words of Paul in Colossians 1. You know this beautiful passage where Paul's talking about the supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. He says, for by him, talking about Jesus Christ, all things have been created, things in heaven and things on earth. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. But then the next verse goes on to say this. It's crazy. And he, Jesus, is before all things. And in him, that is in Jesus Christ, all things hold together. It's right there. I'm like, of course they do. Of course they do. Everything holds together in Jesus Christ. And he goes on at the end of this paragraph, and he just tells the story of grace. He says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on a cross.
I found that incredible when I first watched that clip, to actually see the things that keep us together, knit us together. We're knit together in our mother's womb. And the thing that keeps us together is a little molecule in the shape of the cross of Christ. We're made in his image. Jesus gave his life so that we might have life and have it to the full. I just find that incredible. And the challenge that I want to throw out to you today, we started talking about gifts. God has made you special, but he's also given you gifts. And he wants you to use those gifts. And he wants you to use them for his glory, so that we become more and more the body of Christ in this place. And that can have a massive impact in our community out there. What an impact that can be if we as the body of Christ work together for God's glory. And there are so many different things that we can do as a church family. So many things that you can do to serve the Lord here in this place right now. I wonder, what are you doing? How are you serving God in his church here? Because God's given you gifts to use. Maybe it's something that we don't even do yet in St. Anne's. Maybe there's a new area of ministry where you are gifted at. Come and tell me and come and say, Ian, I've been thinking about this. What do you think? And let's have a think and let's see where God is saying he wants us to go. The ladies who are starting the Mums and Tots group, it's just something that we can do to reach out to show God's love and to show God's love in this place. And that makes a difference. What can you do to make a difference? And how can you use your gifts? Because remember, you are made in his image. And you're held together by him. All things are held together in him for his glory. Let's pray together. Lord, as we look at that, Lord, it's just incredible to see an image like that. Sometimes, Lord, we just think life goes on, and sometimes we wonder, is there a God? But Lord, when we see things like that, we can't help but be touched. Lord, I pray that you would just equip your church here in Egbeth. Lord, I pray that you would move us forward as the body of Christ in this place. And Lord, I pray specifically for each one of us that we'll be challenged to use our gifts, the gifts that you've given us, to use and to develop them for your glory's sake in this place, and that would reach out beyond these four walls. And we pray this in your name. Amen.